Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let's begin our worship with a couple of songs. Greet you in Jesus' name and welcome you to today's service. Trust that as we seek God together, your hearts can be drawn to Him. That's what we're here about, to lift up Jesus Christ, to draw people's hearts to Him. In the first song we sang, I was struck by the third verse, "Think that He thy ways beholdeth," meaning God, "He unfoldeth every fault that lurks within, every stain of shame glossed over, can discover and discern each deed of sin." That's the kind of God we serve. He understands us. He knows our hearts better than we do ourselves. That's some of what I'd like to talk about this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 7. Recently in my private devotions, I came through this section and I was struck again by an illustration that Jesus gave. And so I'd like to draw from that this morning. Mark chapter 7, I'll be reading the first 23 verses. "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands? He answers and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, As it is written, that this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things like ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his mother or his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, these are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he saith unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So here we have the story of how the Pharisees took issue with Jesus and his disciples that they weren't washing their hands. I don't see that Jesus is saying it's not important to wash hands. But in the context, he's saying, you're raising this to a level that God never intended. And so then out of that, he says, you know, to eat with unwashing hands, to eat food that with hands that aren't clean, really won't do anything in your body, in your heart. It's basically food. It goes in and goes the way of all other food, whether your hands are washed or not. But then he goes on to say, but what comes out of the heart, that is what defiles the man. Jesus used an example from the Pharisees to show his disciples a very important truth. That which is in the heart of man determines whether he is defiled. This morning, I'd like to just look at what, you know, I believe most of us here are Christians. And so we have received Christ. We've acknowledged our sin, we've recognized our sin nature, and we've said, God, we need you. What I'd like to focus on this morning is that we still have our flesh to deal with. And so there are times, at least in my life, that God shows me areas of sin still in my life. And so that's what I'd like to focus on this morning. And I'd just like to ask you a couple questions, something for you to think about with me. So does this apply to well-disciplined conservative Anabaptists? You know, what if we do a good job of hiding what is in our heart? You know, being taught to be disciplined, to do the right things is good. But, you know, I think sometimes it comes in the way of us understanding really what's in our heart. Because we may always know what the right thing is to do and, in a sense, the right attitude to even have. But I'd like to ask you the question, how many of you can look at this list and say you don't have any of these in your heart, or at least have had? Let's just look at it again. evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. You know, we can do pretty well in the first part. We might say, oh, well, we've done pretty well. But what about when we get to covetousness? That's much more sly, much more sometimes difficult to see in our own hearts. And then we come to the word pride, and I think that probably strikes us all, because basically pride is a self-focus. And God has said he is a jealous God. He wants our focus to be on him. So anytime our focus is off of him, it's most likely on ourselves. And you know, as I thought of this, something came to my mind, an example that I thought of, that sometimes these specific sins may not come out of our mouths, but there's still something unsettled in our heart. While we were at CBS, one evening after classes, my wife and I were just talking, and she asked me a simple question. And I came back with what I thought was a simple answer. And she right away said, "What? Why did that have such a bite to it?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And as I looked at my answer and why I responded the way I did, I realized that in my heart there was some unsettledness, probably some pride, maybe some covetousness. And even though it wasn't necessarily in the words that I spoke that pride and covetousness showed up, there was something about the way I responded that showed that, you know, something isn't right in my heart. And so I just had a time of coming to God and saying, "God, I just recognize that I missed the mark here." I would just like to say that denying things that are in our heart, or even acknowledging them, does not remove them. We know that for sure, denying them doesn't. But sometimes I think I have the idea that if I acknowledge them, if I say, "Well, yeah, they're there," that now I'm moving on. I would just like to say that repentance is the only remedy. It's more than acknowledging it, saying, "God, these are things set against you. These are sins. And in my heart, they will come between me and you. And so I repent of them and I accept your forgiveness." When we receive God's grace and cleansing, then we need to rely on God to provide what we need. See, as I look at these, the sins that Jesus lists here, I believe most of them, if not all of them, are counterfeits that Satan offers. You know, God wants us to be content with the things that we have. What's the opposite of that? It's covetousness. It's being dissatisfied. It's being discontent. And Satan has all sorts of ways to show us that we are, "Aren't you discontent?" You know, and we latch on to that. Pride, a self-focus, a thinking that I can do this on my own. That probably is, it's kind of difficult to say, but may have been Satan's greatest downfall, was he was exalting himself to be as God. You know, God can only meet the deepest longings of our hearts. You know, when we allow God to meet the deepest longings of our hearts, then our hearts will no longer be satisfied with sin. See, when I choose to say what God has to offer no longer meets what I need, then I go for what Satan has to offer, and I fall into these sins. And we know that sin only satisfies for a short amount of time, and then we need more, and we need more, and we need more. And then we fall deeper and deeper into sin. God has come to meet the deepest longings of our hearts. And when we experience that, then our hearts are at rest, and our hearts are not grasping for these things, and we fall into sin. I had to think of it in light of today's Sunday school lesson, the prodigal son. You know, there were two sons who were far away from God's, from the Father's heart. One actually left physically, but the other one was very distant as well. I had to think of the words from what Steve and Annie Chapman sing, "Turn Your Heart Towards Home." The second verse says, "There are those who have never walked away from home, but in their hearts they are so many miles away. And the Father in heaven is the only one who knows if they would listen, they could hear him say, 'Turn your hearts toward home.'" And I'd like just to challenge you today. If you've been convicted of sin, repent. Turn your heart towards the Father. I think all of us will see either parts of the prodigal son or the son that stayed home, how our hearts are like that. And see, the thing is, the Father's heart is saying, "Come to me. I'm the one who can meet your needs." And I trust that God can, that you can meet God today and you can find those needs met today. Let's kneel and pray. God, I thank you for the plan of salvation that brings redemption to our hearts. Lord, we recognize that our hearts are deceitful, and we often don't even understand our hearts completely. It's as we tune to our hearts to you and allow you to show us that we see those areas of need. And this morning, Lord, as we study about the prodigal son and the son who stayed home, God, it's beautiful to see your heart of love and of compassion for everyone, and how your desire is to draw us to yourself and for us to find our needs met in you. I pray that that would be our experience here this morning in our Sunday school classes as we interact, and then in the preaching service, that your Spirit, your word would meet us at our point of need and would draw us to you. I pray this through Christ. Amen.